Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. Today's show, we have Pastor Scott Dowell of the Sunrise Christian Center. That's on Highway 32. Good morning, Pastor Dowell.
Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
It's good to have you on the radio show, or actually on Christ Today, and I want to thank the listeners for listening to Christ Today, your radio show that's airing at you on Saturdays from 11 to 12. And if you don't get to listen to the radio show from 11 to 12 on Saturdays, try from 3 to 4 on Saturdays, or 11 to 12 on Sundays, or 3 to 4 on Sundays. And also, I want to give a big congratulations out there. If anybody out there was a Chicago Cubs fan, congratulations, go Cubs. They won the World Series after 105 years. Miracles still happen. Not that I wanted the Cubs to win, but miracles do happen. Anyways, you folks, I hope you're having a great week. And so, Scott, why don't you tell the radio audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Scott Dowell, and my wife, Robin, and I moved to Chico 20 years ago. And I work two jobs. I pastor Sunrise Christian Center, but I'm also a certified public accountant, and I work for the city of Chico as the accounting manager. So between the two jobs, and I've got two kids that I love, I have to stop and think how old my kids are now. Hopefully they won't hold this against me, but I have an 11-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old, soon-to-be 14-year-old son, Noah, and Danielle is my daughter's name.
And you've been in Chico for how long now?
20 years.
It's a long time. Where'd you come from?
We live down in Southern California, down in the Ontario, San Bernardino area, and moved up here. It was funny, we kind of laugh. We moved up in August of, I think it was 1996, and it was 111 degrees down there. Mm. We drove all the way up here, and we thought we were going to move to a cooler climate. Mm-hmm. We got out of the van, and it was 111 in Chico that day. And we kind of go, what did we do?
Oh, my gosh.
Man.
You know, usually, Scott, we have people come on and share their testimonies, but you and I were talking yesterday on the phone. You don't have a expressive testimony of having come from a life of drugs or alcohol or pornography or abusive, anything like that. But you have a testimony in the fact that you were saved from early birth, and you've been saved all this time, and you've kept yourself with the Lord's help and grace on the right track. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I grew up in a Christian family, and I am so appreciative of that. My folks were always active in church. In fact, my dad was a music leader. Mm. And back when I grew up, way back then, you'd have these big choirs, and there would be 50 to 60 people in a choir. Now a lot of congregations aren't even that size, but they would have these huge choirs and singing gospel music. And as a kid, I loved it. But at the age of 5, I received the Lord watching a television show that was a Christian television show. And my mom, I went and asked my mom, hey, Mom, I want to know Jesus. And so my mom just led me through the sinner's prayer. But
so Christian TV worked back then.
It did. It did. It still works today.
It's just not the same.
It is, yeah. It was a kids program at the time. Mm-hmm. But we always were in church, and I loved church. I loved the Lord. And then as a young person, I remember in my times of troubles reaching out to the Lord. And I had no desire to jump out and do the things of the world. And sometimes I think we kind of downplay that as, you know, someone doesn't have a testimony if they haven't gone out and lived and sowed wild oats. But I'm thankful that God's able to keep us. And I think that can be a testimony to our young people today is, if you have a relationship with God, you can continue with a relationship with God, and you can love Him, and He can carry you through all your life. And so that's what true. I'm appreciative of.
Because it's not us that does it. It's Christ in us that keeps us going. He's the hope of the glory that's in us.
You're right.
And so if He's in us, then we can stay saved. And it's not about works. It's about grace. Works didn't get us saved. Works won't keep us saved, but it's that relationship with Christ. So you've had a pretty strong relationship with Christ. So we were talking yesterday, and you were just going to share some testimonies a little bit and then talk a little bit about how what's on your heart. And basically, you told me what was on your heart was a revival. So why don't we go into a little bit of testimony? We've got an hour, so why don't we go into some testimonies and talk about how you became pastor, and then maybe we can talk about what's on your heart with regards to revival.
Sure. We can do that. Those are a lot of topics there.
Yeah.
And
listeners, you know what to be expecting now.
Yeah, there you go. Well, just kind of as a background, as I alluded to earlier, love the Lord. And so in growing up in church, we were always looking for ways to help out and be involved. And my wife and I got married, and we wanted to continue in ministry, and we both had secular jobs. I worked for a CPA firm in Southern California, and we got married. And so at our church, we had a fairly large church where we were at, and they would hire a youth pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that time, youth pastors would last about 9 months to a year, and then they would move on to the next largest church or whatever. So we would be asked to be the interim youth pastors.
Yeah.
And we found that we enjoyed it. And actually, the youth groups would hold their own and even grow sometimes during this interim time. So serving the Lord in that capacity in ministry just was there. And we loved that. And so we ended up transitioning. And I was offered a job up here in Chico as a CPA for a local firm. And my wife and I decided that this was the Lord's leading. So we moved up here. Didn't know a soul. Didn't know anyone. But we got up here and we fell in love with the area. We started attending a local church, and there was a transition with a new pastor at the church, and they needed youth pastors.
Mm.
So we went, we volunteered. We said, hey, we're here to help. We love the Lord. We love young people. We're willing to work with young people.
Mm-hmm.
So we started doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we continued on and just loving that, and I'm just kind of filling in some gaps here in our life as we continued in ministry. We had a transition in our life, and we ended up going up to Palisadro. We're asked to help out a church up in Palisadro for a period of time. We did that, and then we were still working full-time in our secular jobs. Came back to Chico and felt a call to plant a church. And so we did that. And a little over 12 years ago, we planted the Sunrise Christian Center Church. And we just love the Lord with that. And we just thoroughly enjoy worshiping the Lord, giving Him glory and honor, sharing the gospel with Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful congregation that love the Lord, come together in unity and seek God and seek His direction in what we're doing.
Yeah. And how's that been for you?
It's been very good. Pastoring full-time and working full-time presents its challenges. But what I like about that is it keeps me grounded. What I mean by that is I can go to church on Sunday and I can present the Word of God, but when Monday comes, I have to go back to a job.
Mm-hmm.
Where I have to be accountable to other people.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be there bright and early, 7 a.m. in the morning, ready to go.
Isn't that fun?
That is great. Monday mornings are great for everyone.
I like to sleep in.
Yeah, but it helps out. And so what it does for me is I know what it is to wake up in the morning, face the challenges of the day. I understand the stress of today, as everyone does. These are stressful times that we live in. People are definitely feeling the effects of society, the effects of sin all around us, and it can take a wear and tear on people. That's why we need to be faithful to the Lord. Now's the time to be faithful to the Lord, not trying to get away from Him, but being faithful to Him and calling out to Him during these times.
I'd agree with you.
Yeah.
So how does one do that?
Well, definitely it starts with a relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And in today's realm, there are so many things that can bring stress and unrest.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm finding, people today want peace. They want peace of mind. They want peace of understanding. And really, the only way we have peace is through Jesus Christ, coming and recognizing his authority, recognizing that Jesus came to die for us. And if we'll accept his salvation, we're made right with God, and we can have that peace every day.
We can.
Yeah. And that peace passes our normal understanding. I mean, we overthink some things, but God's able to come and give that peace.
Why is it that a lot of Christians don't have peace? Why is it that a lot of Christians are seem to be a lot more petrified than people of the world and a lot more scared, a lot more? Why is that?
Well, my observation right now is we're all spiritual beings, but Christians are, just by nature being filled with the Holy Spirit, we have God's Spirit in us.
Yeah.
And so God's Spirit in us, we're sensitive to what's going on in the spirit realm.
Yeah.
So just by nature being Christians, we're going to sense things in the spirit realm, and we know that these are the last days.
Yeah.
God says that in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit. But Timothy talks about challenging times that happen, perilous times that happen in the end, and I believe we're at the end times. But I believe God is able to raise us up. His Spirit is in us, and I think we need to yield to him. We need to read the Word. Mm-hmm. We need to study the Word of God. We need to pray. Mm-hmm. We need to interact with other believers. And yeah. I think when we combine those things together and have a drive for seeking the Lord, he's able to reach down and comfort us. This last Sunday, we were talking in our fellowship about Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious.
That's one that could be repeated a half a dozen times.
Exactly. We could say it over. And not everyone knows what anxious is because we don't use that word as much today as in prior times. But don't be stressed out. Don't be worried about things. And it kind of gives us some direction on how to relieve that stress. Well, we let our issues, the things that we're dealing with before the Lord, we tell him, here's where we're at. And God, I need help, and I thank you for the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we come to the Lord and we're just kind of saying, Lord, here's my laundry list. I need this check. I need this check. I need this check. And we forget to say, hey, God, thank you.
Yeah. And sometimes he just wants to hear it, thank you. Sometimes he just wants to hear, good morning, Lord, or I love you, or instead of coming to him with your laundry list of things that you have to have him do for you, you know, we don't have an attitude of gratitude. We're not thankful. We just, God, this is what I need. This is what I need. And he wants us to be thankful. He wants us to be grateful for the things he has done for us already, right?
I totally agree with you. And that passage of scripture that we're looking at in Philippians 4, I mean, it talks about that. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication or petition coming with the Lord and saying, here's where it's at. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Verse 7, I like it says, and the peace of God, which passes our understanding. Meaning we can't, if you try to think about God's peace and how it comes, when you can have peace in the midst of difficult, challenging times, when there's chaos all around, when there's confusion all around, and you can be as cool as a clam and peaceable, that comes from God, and we can't explain it. I mean, sometimes in the world, what do we do if we're in pain? We'll take a pain med.
Yeah.
We can go back, oh, yeah, this pain med made me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't understand how God is able to bring peace to our whole spirit realm but by coming before him, and he does it. And I really like that verse 9 comes in and says, the God of peace will be with you. It's so good to know that God, our God, is a God of peace, not of war, not of stress. He doesn't bring those in our lives. That's the effects of living in the world.
Oh, yeah.
But he's able to give us the peace.
So continue.
So I guess kind of going back to a little bit of my history.
Yeah.
With coming to Chico and starting the church, I mentioned earlier that there was a time that we kind of transitioned up to a church up in Palisadro. And this story is a story of how God is able just to miraculously minister to us where we're at. My wife and I have been married for several years, and we wanted children very badly.
Good, we're talking about what I thought. Okay, cool. Go ahead.
And so we had had two or three miscarriages. And if anyone, a family has gone through miscarriages, it's a death. You're going through a death in the family because your hopes and your dreams are with that child, and it's filling a need that you have to be a parent. We lost a couple of children that way, and so it was devastating. My wife and I were really hurting, and we were in a particular time in our life that we were just going through difficult times, as Christians can do. We still had peace of mind that God was able to bring us through and help us, but we were still stressed about things and still worried about things. So my wife was going to school, and she graduated from college, and so we said, let's go and rejoice and go to Hawaii. So my wife and I went to Hawaii to just enjoy some time together and just kind of take a deep breath and relax. While we were there, I felt a stirring in my spirit early in the morning. John, about 6 in the morning, felt the Lord say, I want to spend some time with you. And so I got up, and I usually don't like to get up early in the morning when I'm on vacation, but when I feel the Holy Spirit speaking, I yes. got up and went. So I went downstairs, and I was walking along, and it was low tide. And I looked out, and there were two big rocks out in the middle, out kind of in this little reef area, little bay area. And I just felt prompted to walk out there, and I had a little notebook with me, and I had my Bible. And so I was walking out there, and it was kind of fun, kind of jumping across rocks, across the water to get out to this. So it's kind of a little fun trial there getting across. But as I got out there, I just felt, it was one of those times where I just felt hearing from the Lord. I felt like the Lord was speaking to my heart. And I began to write it down, and those things. And the Lord began just kind of sharing and say, hey, I know where you're at. I know the challenges that you and your wife are facing. I know that you desire children. I know all your things that you're needing. But as the Lord began to speak, he said, I got it all taken care of. In fact, he says, you will have children. You will see the things that you've contended for. Spiritually, my wife and I have contended and wanted to see God work in the miraculous. We want to see God touch hearts and lives through salvation. We want to see healings take place. We want to see miracles take place because those things will turn people to the Lord. And so that was our heart. And so I wrote those things down, and I dated it. And you guys can see I'm holding a little binder right here. This is the original journal I had way back then, several years ago. That it was dated June 10th, 2002. That was the date.
14 years ago. Right.
Several years ago.
It's a long time.
It has a long time. This journal has stayed with me. So I was encouraged as I was there. I kind of felt like I met with the Lord. He had encouraged me and said, you know, everything's going to be all right. That next day was a Sunday. And so we decided to go to church. And when I'm on vacation, I'll go to church. I get encouraged by going to visiting other churches.
Yeah, I don't agree. I mean, I agree with that. I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. So we went to a church, and so we sat there, and the pastor got up, and he turned to a passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 5. And he read this passage of Scripture, and it was kind of one of those that I'm going, oh, okay, I know that passage of Scripture. But as he began to share a different understanding of it, my wife and I both kind of perked up. And the passage of Scripture is talking about the, well, I'll just read a couple of verses if that's okay with you. Just
go
kinda,
ahead, man.
If that's all right.
Go ahead.
So Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And then the next few verses talk about the passage that we usually think about, the woman with the issue of blood. We usually think about that passage, but it's right in the middle of this story here. So I want to pass on down and go on down to verse 36.
Okay.
As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. So everyone, this child has died.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's freaking out.
Yeah.
They're yelling, they're screaming, they're weeping.
Yeah.
Verse 39, Jesus comes in. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Now we're familiar with that passage of scripture in that Jesus raises child from the dead, and we rejoice in that and go, God is powerful.
Yeah.
But this minister was sharing, he put a little different slant on it, which made me think about things. And he said, for that leader, Jairus, that little daughter represented his dreams for the future. And I think us as parents, we can recognize that and go, our children are really our dreams, our future. And all of a sudden, the dreams and the future for this guy are gone. His little daughter is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so the minister was kind of talking. He said, for us in our own lives, Satan can do things that will give the appearance that our dreams are dead. And all of a sudden, my wife and I are starting to go, oh, you know what? The dreams of us having children have seemed like it's been dead.
Mm-hmm.
The dreams and visions that God has for the future seem like they're dead in our life.
Wow.
But this minister said, you know what? We need to take these words, even though these are Aramaic words that said, you know, Talitha kumi, which really means little child, rise up. He says, we need to take that by faith and say to our lives and our dreams, Talitha kumi, dreams arise. God, you're able to raise up our dreams that may be dormant and bring life. And we were just sitting there, tears were kind of going down our face as we're like, oh God, that's a word to us to encourage us to believe that everything is going to come to pass and we need not to give up. We need to have faith and believe everything will come to place that you have for us.
Mm.
And so we left Hawaii encouraged that things were going to work out. Our jobs were going to work out. Our family was going to work out. Our beliefs that God was going to move. We have a desire for God to move and touch hearts and lives. We would get to see that in our lifetime.
Praise God.
So we were rejoicing. So we come through, and that was in June. And the church we were at, we kind of requested that we would have some time off. So we came back from this vacation and had some kind of a sabbatical leave is what we were assistant pastor. So we took some time off. And so we were, one Sunday, we'd been gone about 2 or 3 months. And one Sunday we woke up and we said, let's go back to our church. We're missing everybody. We just want to pop in on a Sunday morning. So we popped in, got to see people or friends and family that we're missing. And at the end of the service, we had a nice service. And as we were leaving the service, a young lady who we knew, she was 15 years of age at the time, came up to us at the service and she says, I don't know if you know this, but I'm pregnant. And I was sitting here in the service today and I was wondering, should I abort this child? Should I keep this child? And I looked down to you and Robin. Something wanted me to come and ask you if you would consider adopting my child.
Wow.
Wow is right. We kind of were like, that response kind of like, whoa. And so what happened is we continued dialogue along that line. And March 11th, 2003, excuse me, which was exactly 9 months after the day I heard from the Lord on the rocks in Hawaii, little Noah was born.
Mm.
And we got a call in the morning to come down to the hospital and pick up your little boy.
Mm, miracles happen.
So we have a huge admiration for the birth family that we know the birth mom loved that little guy, but just wasn't in a state in her life where she's able to take that child. But the Holy Spirit worked on her that Sunday morning and talked with her because she was contemplating abortion. And here that little guy came into our life and we rejoiced. And he's been with us for all these years. One of the things that's interesting is even though we had that little guy and he was with us for 3 months and we had taken him home and we had bonded with this little guy, we're going through the adoption legal process. And when they go through the adoption process, they do an analysis. The state does an analysis of the birth family, and everyone has to sign off and agree to the adoption. But we found out that Noah's birth father was Cherokee Indian.
Hmm.
What happens with adoptions here in America is if it's an Indian, a Native American child, the tribe has to sign off and approve the adoption.
Hmm.
They'll only do that if it's to another Cherokee family.
Hmm.
So here we are. We've had that child. We're bonding with that child. We're loving that child. He's become our family.
Hmm.
And so then we were kind of faced with, again, oh, God, what's going to happen?
Hmm.
So Robin, my wife, was calling her dad, and her dad was the minister. And so she was kind of sharing, Dad, here's what's happening. Noah's with us, and he can be taken away. The tribe could say, nope, he's not. And her dad says, well, Robin, why are you worried? She says, Dad, because we're, you know, Scott's not Indian and I'm not. And he says, well, don't you realize we are Indian? I'm a third Cherokee Indian.
Hallelujah. Miracles happen.
Miracles happen.
Yes.
And the tribe found out about that and is documented, signed off, no problem. And so that little boy is with us today.
Praise God.
Becoming a man of God. He's there in our church and he plays the drums during the worship time and loves the Lord.
So what the enemy meant for bad, the Lord turned around for good. And that's what the Bible says. What the enemy means for bad, the Lord will turn it around for good. Not to lose hope. If you have a dream, yes, we're in the last days. We don't know how much longer we have. But don't stop dreaming. Have a dream because you don't know. You might see it fulfilled. God's not promised us when we're going to see his return. And Scott, I'll be honest with you. Yes, we're in the last days, but I still think we have some time. I don't think the Lord's through yet. I keep saying it over and over and over again because prophecies keep happening with people. Why would God keep giving people words if he was through? Mm-hmm. And there are more people that need to come to Christ in these last days. What this needs to do is wake the church up and get people warned that they need to come to Christ and not play around like they have tomorrow because they're not promised they have tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
People are dying left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to know that time now is much more closer than ever before.
Yep.
If you're not ready today, you could be gone tomorrow. You could be gone today. You're not guaranteed tomorrow.
You're right.
But as long as there's breath in your body, there's hope and there's dreams that you have. And when I went to China recently, I spent some time at YWAM base, and it was called Awaken Dreamer. And, you know, not to stop dreaming. And I want to encourage my listeners out there that if you have a dream, keep dreaming. Keep believing, because God said your faith, let it be done according to your faith. So, Scott, what do you, you've been talking to me about revival. So the Lord's stirring revival up in your spirit. So why don't you share the next few minutes what's brought that on and what you feel revival is, and why don't you just take the next few minutes and talk about that?
Sure. It's a topic that I get excited about, but I agree with you in these last days. We believe the Lord's return is very soon, but my personal opinion is, and I think it's backed up by Scripture, in particularly the book of Joel, says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And as we see things here in America, we could get pretty discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And we could feel like just giving up. In fact, some people have. They've just kind of like, oh. And particularly as we look, as here we are in elections next week.
Lord help us.
And yeah, so we could get stressed out. And you're exactly right. Lord help us. And the body of Christ should be praying right now,
mm-hmm.
as yes. well as voting. The body of Christ needs to get out and vote.
And I want to take a minute.
Yeah.
To my listeners out there, what difference does voting make? Should I really vote? Is it really important? Do you have a breath? Are you breathing? Yes, it's important. The very fact that you're breathing was something that was fought for by our military. And there are principles that this country was built on that are at stake. There are things that this country had given to them as freedoms that were fought for and won, and it's at stake. And I'm not telling you whether to vote Republican, Democrat. I'm telling you, vote your conscience. I'm telling you, go to the polls and pray. I'm telling you, take a step and go and vote and believe God and pray. And don't say, well, I'm not going to vote. I think the election's rigged and I'm not going to vote. You know what? Your faith can be what turns this thing around. If we pray, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek not our face, not the president's face, it's not the leader that's going to turn this country around. Seek his face, the Lord's face. Turn from their ways. Then would he hear from heaven and heal their land? Folks, we have an important election next week. And no, I don't care whether you're for Trump. I don't care whether you're for Clinton. They're not going to be the answer. Christ is. But one of them is the one that the Lord would have you vote for. Both of them need prayed for. God has it has the right one that he's going to place in office. But what are you going to do? Are you going to sit back and act like it doesn't matter? Or are you going to go to the polls? And I'm encouraging all my listeners, go to the polls and vote. Your vote to you may not count. But you know what was recently said this week on television? The last election we had, Scott, 25 million Christians did not vote. Mm-hmm. Christians, vote. Make your voice be heard. It is time that you take a stand. And you know what? God will have his way in America no matter what happens. Even if the person we don't want as candidate still gets in office, God will still have his way. It might be quicker than we think of his return, but God will still have his way. Mm-hmm. So voters, be prayed up. Go to the polls. And if you think you shouldn't, I encourage you, do so. Mm-hmm. And I'm not telling you who to vote for. But let your conscience be known, let your voice be heard, and make your choice next week for this election. All right, let's continue.
Amen. You're preaching it there. I definitely believe that we can have an impact. And how does the body of Christ have an impact? Exactly what you were saying, by praying. That's our weapon, is prayer and seeking the Lord. And we try to do so many things in the physical realm by, you know, doing this or doing that, and those aren't necessarily bad, but we see change when we pray. And what's the area that the church is probably the weakest in?
Prayer.
Many times people will, or pastors will call prayer meetings, and they're the smallest attended meetings.
But call a potluck and see what happens.
Yeah, potlucks are quite successful. But if the body of Christ realized what power there is in prayer, we can see things turn around and we can see change happen. So yeah, as we're looking forward to the future here, we have to contend for the things. We have to contend for our nation. We have to believe and trust the Lord for those things. And you're right, I wonder how the Lord will hold us accountable when we had opportunities to vote or to pray and intercede for our nation and we didn't do it. We had other things that were more important. I don't know.
25 million votes decided the last election. How many votes will it be this time?
Yeah.
I, too, think that prayer is such an important element in all life. Do you have certain ideas what prayer ought to consist of when we address our Lord God?
Well, I think, obviously, we can use an example of the Lord's Prayer, and that's always foundational. But what I've found over time, prayer is just really talking to the Lord And when we have a conversation, conversation shouldn't be one way. It should be two ways.
Yeah.
And many times when we come to prayer, people want to go, God, here's my list. Mm-hmm. Here's my Christmas list.
Yeah.
And kind of treating God like Santa.
Yeah.
God, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And certainly the Lord wants us to communicate our issues and our needs to him. I mean, he's a loving and caring father. But what I think is interesting is as we're having our times of prayer and our times of petition and our times of thanksgiving, interacting and thanking him for what he's done, but it's also a time where we enter in and listen to what he's speaking. How do we hear from God? Well, I think times of prayer are important to have the Bible in front of us because we can actually have the scripture in front of us and we can pray the scripture. Mm-hmm. There's times where I will read scripture and say, Lord, your word says this, and I'm reading it back to you. I know your word, but Lord, you say you're my healer. You say you're my provider. Mm-hmm. I am trusting you for that.
Yeah, amen.
And bringing it back in the word and saying, God, here, I need peace in my life. Prepare my life with peace and give me peace.
Yeah.
And as we begin to interact there, all of a sudden it's not a one-way conversation. Mm-hmm. It's a two-way thing.
Yeah.
And I've had encounters where the Lord speaks to me through his word. Sometimes it's that small impression. In fact, it's interesting. My kids have been fortunate the last few years since they started school to go to a Christian school. But the Christian school where they were at closed the junior high. Yeah. And so my kids have transitioned to a public junior high. And so as believers, we're like, hey, Lord, this is your direction because there's no options right now, but we're going to go to public school. And we've used that as opportunities for the kids to say, you can be a light for Jesus wherever you're at.
Yeah.
Now, they're not going to pray. The teachers aren't going to lead you in prayer. They're not going to have Bible studies. But as you're going to school, you can be a light. And so as we're working with it, we've kind of changed our routine in the evenings now where we have a time of devotion. We have a devotion for kids where there's scripture and then there's some question and answer. And we have the kids read that. But last night we were talking about how we talk to God, how we hear from God.
Amen.
And so the kids were talking and I said, well, how do you hear from God? How do you know you hear from God? And I was just so happy to hear their responses. They know, well, sometimes God will talk audibly. I said, that has happened. I said, it doesn't happen very much. But my daughter said, oh, he can talk to us through dreams.
Yes, he can.
I go, yeah, that's great. And my son came back. He says, well, sometimes, Dad, it's just a feeling. Or we know we should do something or we shouldn't do it.
Or the word.
Or obviously the word of God for sure. And so as believers, I think sometimes people can get bogged down and go, man, prayer is a lot of work. And it's tiring. Well, it is when it's one way.
Yeah.
But when it's two ways and it's a dynamic conversation, all of a sudden time seems to be very short.
And God wants to talk to us. He desires to talk to us. He created us for fellowship and relationship. He wants to have words in our life. And you know, he uses prophecy in our lives too. That's another way he can speak to us. People say, well, I don't need a prophet. I can hear from God. Really? Well, he doesn't speak audibly to you always. So maybe you think you're hearing from God, and maybe a lot of times a prophet comes into your life to give you confirmation or to give you assurance that what you think you're hearing from God, you are hearing from God. So don't knock the prophet. Be open to prophetic words. If somebody comes to you and says, I have a word from the Lord, I'll take that word and challenge it, take that word and question it, but also be willing to receive it, because there's a lot of people out there that operate in the gift of prophecy, and God uses them. And I think a lot of times we look at that gift and go, it's not that important. But God wants, he has ways of talking to us, and that's one of the ways he talks to us is through the prophetic, right, Scott?
Well, definitely so, and we're talking, alluded earlier about the end times.
Yeah.
And I like to, in my opinion, and I think it's scriptural when it talks about in Joel that in the last days God's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. We
Which
saw
hasn't
that.
Happened yet.
Well, and we saw a glimpse of that in the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
We saw God pour out his spirit, and we saw lives change, and we saw people turn to the Lord, and we saw those gifts in operation. the prophetic gifts and all the gifts that are alluded to, and particularly in Corinthians chapter, First Corinthians chapter 12, and talking about those gifts that are coming forward. And we need to, in a New Testament church, have all those gifts in operation. And not just one or two, but if we allow all of them to work, we're moving on all cylinders.
But I thought those gifts were done away with. I didn't think they existed today.
No, I know you're playing the devil's advocate there. But,
no, but that's what a lot of people in the church tell you. Those gifts aren't for today. They're not in operation. And I say bogus to that. God still is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And what he did back then, he will do today. Are we open to it? Are we acceptive to it? Or do we want to close our heart and say, well, God can't do what he did back then? Why not? Did you change or did he change? He said he never changes. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the factor that we haven't been taught right or we haven't believed right is the reason why we don't accept what he's doing today, right?
Well, I definitely believe that we need to embrace the scripture. And if the scripture says, like you said, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we can definitely accept 1 Corinthians where it talks about these gifts. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, but the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills.
Mm.
If you're like me, there's times where I need the prophetic gift in my life.
Mm-hmm.
There's times where I need the healing gift.
Yeah.
There's the times where I need the miraculous. And
yeah.
I've kind of shared some examples of the miraculous in my life, and I know we could probably each go around the room and you could share how the miracles have happened.
Yeah.
But we need all of those things operating today in the church. If we don't have them, we're at a disadvantage. And so God definitely wants to move today.
And if he said he's going to pour his Spirit on all flesh in the last days, then those gifts and stuff are still in operation because that's part of his pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. Why would he do that unless those gifts were not in operation? But we were going to go back to revival. So you were sharing your heart with revival about us. So why don't we go back and talk about revival?
Sure. Now, those of us that have grown up in church, I remember revival services when I grew up as a kid. And those revival services would be ones that would go every night of the week, sometimes 2 or 3 weeks. I remember as a kid, there was one that went 5 weeks. Now, excuse me, going to church sometimes, even now, a lot of times people go to church maybe one service a week.
Maybe one meal a week?
But when I was growing up, when the Spirit of God was touching hearts and lives, people wanted to be there. And I know we've got a lot of distractions in our lives today, but there was a hunger and a thirst where people were crying out saying, God, I want more of you. I want to experience your presence. And I think when people were hungering and desiring for those things, God was able to work. So over time, I remember in the late 80s, there were different revivals. There was like the Toronto Blessing, some have heard of. There was the Brownsville Revival. I remember on a smaller scale, there was one called the Smithton Outpouring. And there's been others, but those are some that come to my mind where there was a divine move of God that stirred hearts and lives to repent and turn to God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think before the Lord comes, he's not just going to deal with people in one geographical area. I believe he wants to touch every heart and life that is seeking after him. Wouldn't it be amazing if God decides to send a worldwide revival that touches everyone? And this is my own personal thought here, that I think it's going to, when God's Spirit comes, he's going to touch and he's going to give everyone a clear choice. Yes, accept me, or no, deny me.
I agree.
And it's going to be pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think a short period of time after that, then I think we can expect Christ's return, because he doesn't want anyone to perish. And he will show people what his Spirit can do by sending forth a touch and sending forth a renewal, revival, reformation, whatever term you want to call it, but sending his Spirit to touch every life.
I think that's funny. I look at Reverend Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, who just recently did several states. I don't know if he went through all the states, but he did prayer and gathered in several states, and many, many people showed up. And he's going to do it next year in all 50 states. And it's prayer, and I believe revival can come through that. But I believe that revival is already in the verge of a breakout in the aspect that we're talking about, a grace revolution. People have grown up under the law. They've grown up under religion. They've grown up under works. Now that I'm saved, I've got to do A, B, C, D, E, and F to stay saved. And they don't have a real understanding of God's grace. And I believe God wants his children to understand grace. And if we understood grace and walked in grace and operated in grace, I believe we would see people touch for the kingdom. Because that's the only way our life can be touched and changed, is through God's grace being imparted and being demonstrated through our life. It's not how much we try to prove ourselves. It's not how much work we do. It's not how much we work ourselves up. It's his grace. And we are saved by grace, which is unmerited favor. It goes deeper than that. It gives us the ability to do what God has called us to do and be who God has called us to be. But we need to see an outpouring of his grace like never before. And so I believe that either churches are going to get with it or they're not going to get with it. And if what comes upon this country, that could come upon this country, and I'm not going to say what it is, you will see it if it does. Then I believe people will be challenged what side they're on. And those that really gather in the name of the Lord in the presence of them, you will see great things take place if it comes down to that. Because you will see a people gather together because of the grace of God. So what's going to play out here in the future, only God knows. And like I agree with you, Scott, we are very close to the end. I'm not going to sit here and say it's today. I don't believe it is. I'm not going to sit here and say it's next year. I believe it's close. But no one knows the day, the time, or the hour. And it bothers me when preachers get on the air and say, well, you know, we're there. We are in the last days. But don't give a false hope. If you believe we're there, then pray. But don't tell people it's today if it's not going to happen for another 2 or 3 years, because people are tired. People are weak. And they need strength. And if they're thinking that they're going to be out of here tomorrow, why are they going to even be asking God for strength? They're thinking they're out of here tomorrow. But his will, I don't believe, has been fulfilled yet, because I believe there's more souls that are going to come to Christ. Well, there's a great falling away. Yeah, there's a great falling away. But there's also a great mass of people coming to the Lord in the last days too. And what causes people to fall away unless they really had a true encounter with Christ in the first place? If they had a true encounter with Christ, I don't think they're going to fall away. I think if they had religion or if they had legalism, or if they didn't understand God's true message, then back away from that, or maybe they'll go back to the law. So I believe that grace is part of that revival that you're talking about, right, Scott?
Definitely, grace is part of God's work, and we definitely have to have his grace and that unmerited favor just to accept his salvation. Mm-hmm. is so important. And it'll be interesting, you're right, no man knows when Christ is coming. And if anyone sets a date on it, we know from Scripture that they're false. Mm-hmm. Because no one knows God's plan along those lines. But there's a passage of Scripture here in Acts chapter 2 that I think is interesting. And a lot of times I look back and think about this and going, okay, if in the book of Acts, the early church is kind of a indication of what God wants to do in the end times, we're in store for some powerful things. Acts chapter 2, verse 40, it says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Wow. When I read that passage of Scripture, I get excited about what the church could do, what the church could look like. And I think in these last days, I think there's going to be times where we as the body of Christ unite together. It won't be A, Church B, Church C. It'll be the body of Christ coming together and say, God, we desire you to move. And this is my brother over here from this church. He may go to a different congregation, but he's my brother. I love him, and God, I ask you to uphold him and encourage him. And God's going to do some powerful things.
What do you think some of those things are going to be? Or what do you feel some of those things are going to show up? What form do you think it's going to come in? Do you have any idea what you think some of those things are going to be?
Well, can you imagine when God pours out his Spirit? And I think many of us can relate to times when we have felt God's presence. And everyone is different. Our personalities are all different. And so when we feel, experience the presence of God, we all react differently because we're different. Mm-hmm. And some of us may be more emotional. Some of us may be shyer or quiet. But God knows where we're at, and he knows what's going on. But can you imagine if we all started to sense the presence of God? One thing, we're going to be encouraged. As we talked about earlier, our dreams, God resurrecting those dreams. Our faith, it rises up. We're dreaming that God, or we're believing God's able to bring forth the dreams and the promises that he's given. But all of a sudden, we're encouraged, and all of a sudden, we start to go out and we share the gospel with power. Can you imagine being so on fire for God that you're walking down the street, and all of a sudden, you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you and say, you know what? You need to go over and pray for this person over here. And you go over and you say, hey, sir, or may I pray for you? Mm-hmm. And they go, yeah. And you pray for them and they're healed. Maybe you don't know what the issue is, but all of a sudden, maybe they have a back issue. And all of a sudden, they go, oh, wow, my back, it feels good. I've had a back problem. And all of a sudden, people are encouraged. And they're like, whoa, what? How did that happen?
Yeah.
And then the believer says, as through Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 3, we just read at the end of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 3 is put in motion with Peter and John going and healing the man that was lame. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine going out into the streets and all of a sudden churches taking place outside the four walls of the physical church where it should be? We should be able to share the word of God and testify and encourage it. But when God lines those up, when the believers are encouraged, we're lined up and we're seeing those things happen. Hey, I think it is here in the book of Acts. Wouldn't it be cool? I've had this thought before. Wouldn't it be cool if believers were so on fire for God and they feel led to go and pray for people in hospitals? And they start going down and they start praying for people in a hospital bed and God starts healing them? Hmm. Can you imagine? I know that's probably outside the box thinking.
He can. He wants to. He will.
Yeah. That would be so totally awesome to see God do some powerful things. So that gets back to that thought of, we know that Christ is coming again soon. We know he wants to send his Holy Spirit to encourage the body of Christ, but to mobilize the body of Christ to be faithful, to do what he's asking us to do. And when we do, I believe it'll open doors. But I believe it starts with a hunger within us.
Mm-hmm.
Stirring up a hunger within us. Today's days are difficult to live in here in America. Yeah. And if you're like me and you go home at the end of the day of a hard day at work, you know, you're kind of brain dead. If you're like me, I'm kind of brain dead. I'm kind of tapped out. And so I want peace and rest. Well, I believe God can stir us up and reinvigorate us so that we have that energy to go forward.
We've got another 5 minutes. Do you want to talk about your church a little bit? You want to give a plug-in for your church?
Sure. We're a Spirit-filled congregation, and we believe in the power of prayer. And that's one of the things that we hold strongly. It says, the Bible, what does it say about the church? It says, a church will be a house of prayer.
Yeah.
And so we have a Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. We have a Sunday night prayer meeting at 6 p.m. And we have a Wednesday night Bible study at 6:30 p.m. And I have to admit, many times my favorite service of the week is the Sunday night prayer meeting. And
why is that?
Why is that? Because we try to take what is exhibited here, being a spirit-filled congregation, to allow the gifts to be in operation. So, for instance, if people are hurting, let's stop and pray for them right now. Let's minister to them. One of the things that has happened over the last few years is our fellowship, we felt led to minister to other ministers in our city. And not to belabor a point, but being a pastor is not the easiest job in the world. No. There's a lot of discouragement because you're trying to help people, but people are people. And sometimes the challenges that they're facing can be overwhelming to a pastor.
And they're expecting the pastor to be perfect and do everything, and that can't be done.
Can't be done. So one of the things that the Lord laid upon our heart a few years ago was, let's reach out to other pastors in our community. And so on a Sunday night, we'll invite a pastor from a local church to come, and they can bring their family. And we just ask them, say, please come. We want to honor you. And we want you to just kind of share what's on your heart, and then can we pray together? And sometimes we'll pray together, and we'll maybe someone may have a word of encouragement, a verse of scripture or a prophetic word to encourage that pastor and his family. And then after that, we'll take an offering for the pastor and bless them and send them on. Now, that's unique because we're reaching out to another minister in our town, in our region. But we feel we're the same, we're the body of Christ. Why can we not? What's been interesting about that, we've probably done this probably close to 14 times or so over the last few years. Every time God reaches down and encourages that pastor, we're encouraged. One of the pastors that I invited to come on a Sunday night, he was ministering at a church. And the church financially was not able to provide for the pastor. And that day, his lunch was cheese and crackers. And he came to service that night, and he was broken. He was pretty overwhelmed with things. We sang a few choruses. We allowed him to come up and share, and then we began to minister to him and encourage him and give him words of scripture. And some people had some prophetic words of saying, you know what? God's not finished with you. Mm. And we took an offering for him, and it was a substantial offering. Mm. It was a very large offering. We gave him that check, and he was quite broken by that. Mm. He was overcome with emotion. And he says, you don't know this. And I didn't know it at the time, but he shared with me that his lunch was cheese and crackers, and his car, he didn't have gas for his car, and all these kind of things, these challenges.
That's where ministry comes in.
But he said, when I walked in here tonight, I was feeling like quitting the ministry. I felt so overwhelmed with everything that I felt like quitting. And in fact, I was thinking about that this week, of quitting. He said, but I've heard the word of the Lord tonight. I've been encouraged. And you know what? I'm going to keep going. Well, this was about 3 years ago. That pastor has continued. He has gone forward. His church is thriving. God's doing powerful things. Lives are being saved and encouraged. And so I think about that. Was our church real great and everything? No, we were just doing what God asked us to do and reaching out. And so to God be the glory if we're able to minister in that way.
Amen. To God be the glory. This has been a great show, Pastor Scott. Thank you for coming on and sharing. His church is Sunrise Christian Center on Nord in Chico. And he's been the guest today. And I'm going to ask you, Pastor Scott, to pray out.
Sure. Father God, we come before you and we're thankful that we're in America. We're thankful that we can have a radio show like this. And Lord, I pray for John and I pray for Curtis that you would bless them as they have been diligent to put this radio program together. And I pray a blessing upon this time. I pray that when people tune in, they are ministered to each week by this ministry. And so God, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon our generation. Lord, we're praying for our city of Chico and the surrounding areas that you would pour out your Spirit, that you would touch every heart and life. God, we pray that you would encourage. We pray that you would establish your work, your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. and over our city. We pray for the churches in Chico, God, that they would preach your gospel to the fullest. We pray encouragement upon the pastors, encouragement that they would go forward and speak your words. And God, we do pray for a mighty move of your Holy Spirit, a mighty touch, God, upon this city. Lord, we pray for the elections next week, that you would just come and minister greatly, lead and guide our nation, and may our nation be strong and powerful in you. Amen.
Christians, get out and vote next week. Pray for the good news. I'm believing for a good report. And we will be back at you next week with Pastor Brian Myers from Grace Community Church here in Chico. He will be sharing some awesome testimonies and some powerful stuff about his life. So we'll be on with you next week, and have a great week until then.